rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. I saw this video a couple weeks ago and thought it was really cool coming into Thanksgiving week and how this time of year we tend to focus a lot more on what we're thankful for than maybe what we do most of the year. And it was just a good reminder of even the simple things in life. We woke up. That's a big thing, I think, but we take that for granted. And so, like, as I was watching this video, it was a constant reminder of, even though that we are not seeing these things like stepping in our car and driving to work with millions of other people and arriving there safely, we don't think about things like that. I know I don't. I just think about, okay, I need to get here at this time and whether or not I'm here or not. But we don't think about, hey, thank you for allowing me to arrive safely every single time we step in our car, or, you know, even the simple things of having food. So today we're going to look at this: rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And before we do that, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background of the book of Thessalonians, because it's a book that it's not as popular, if that makes sense. It's a very short book. There's only five chapters. The Second Thessalonians, the second letter that Paul wrote, is only a couple of chapters long as well. But there's some really good stuff in this, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background on 1 Thessalonians. There's a map, okay? So Paul, he's the writer of the book of Thessalonians. On his second missionary journey out of Jerusalem, he traveled, and we can see Jerusalem on the very bottom right hand. And that red line that's going up, it took him about 2 to 3 years to travel that, about 2,700 miles in all. And Thessalonica is up in the very top left-hand corner by Philippi and Berea in Macedonia. And Thessalonica is known for being a port kind of city. Very popular for trade, for communication. So it was a very key city that Paul was trying to reach. And as we read in Acts 17, as we spent quite a bit of time in Acts this year, in Acts 17, it is written, "Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where the synagogue of the Jews. According to Paul, according to Paul's custom, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This is Jesus who I am proclaiming to you as the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a number of leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the market place, formed a mob and set the city in uproar. Attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, shouting, 'These men have upset the world. These men have upset the world and have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them. And they act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus.' They stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things, and when they had heard, received a pledge from Jason and others, and they released them." And that's when Paul actually left Thessalonica and ended up going to Berea. So Paul had a very short stint in Thessalonica because of the uproar of the Jews. And mainly the Jews, but it was a very pagan city as well. They don't like that spot, sorry. So Paul, when he writes this letter, he's actually writing to the believers that were there in the very short time that he was there. So because they didn't have a lot of outside support, Paul was trying to encourage them. So this letter is actually Paul's very first letter. It was written around AD 51 or 52. We see that in his second missionary journey, he comes and goes out to Thessalonica. So the purpose of this letter was actually to encourage those believers that were there for the short time when Paul was there for the short time. I'm sorry. And so he knew that they were going to suffer persecution. He knew that they were going to be put in a pretty bad place because the pagans of the world of that time were going to be pressing against them, and the people of Thessalonica would also probably just not take too lightly to Christianity. So he writes this letter as an encouragement to these believers. And since we're going to be talking about 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 through, or 16 through 18, I'm sorry, and it's rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. He's saying that no matter the situation that you're in, we want you to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And it being Thanksgiving week, we do have a lot to be thankful for here in America. Hopefully most of us have shelter. Hopefully we stuffed our bellies full with turkey and probably to the exceeding capacity of our bellies sometimes. But we have those blessings, and we take those for granted. And so the next thing I'm going to talk about is, like, what kills gratitude in our personalities. And the first one I'm going to talk about is pride. Pride says, I have worked very hard for everything I have. Nobody helped me. And while this is true that we probably worked hard for everything we have, we learn in Scripture that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And when we're prideful, we're not very gracious. And the second one is doubt. Doubt is something where certain circumstances cause us to doubt God's goodness. We may not get what we want. Things may not turn out the way we want them to. And we begin to doubt whether or not God is even good or that he even cares about us. And Jason talked a couple of weeks ago about the broken kingdom and how God is all-knowing, all-loving. He called it omnibenevolent. Selfishness. It says, God, get off the throne and put me there. This is my life and my plans. How many of us say that sometimes when we make our own plans? And then sometimes God will actually laugh at us when that happens. That actually happened to me a couple of years ago. Shelley had been on me for about 2 years to go to Myanmar on a mission trip. And I said, not going to happen. I don't want to do it. Not going to go. And, of course, that's changed, and I've been there 4 times now, so God does have a sense of humor. A critical spirit, and this is also just kind of an ungrateful spirit. Always complaining, not grateful, and nothing is ever satisfying. No matter how good the situation is, there's always complaints, and nothing ever satisfies. And then there's carelessness, which kind of goes into that a little bit. It says, not grateful for the things you do have and grumbling at what you don't. So we focus on the things that we don't have and oversee the things that we do have. And it brings it reminded me of Exodus 15 when the Israelites are being brought out of Egypt and they're wandering in the desert and they're grumbling because they're thirsty and they're hungry and, whatever else. And it says in chapter 15, verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord. Oh, that was good. And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him the tree, and he threw it onto the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. And then he kind of goes in, and they kind of start grumbling about whether or not they have food. And so God sends manna, bread from heaven, and they still continue to grumble, for they're tired of eating bread. They had an abundance of bread, and they got tired of eating bread, so God provided meat. And they still grumbled more. So instead of looking at the things that they did have that God provided for them, they focused on what they didn't have. And in that, it killed the gratitude that they should have for God. And then we see impatience as number six, discontent over the perception that God isn't working for us. That can kind of go in with doubt a little bit. And then anger, we have a heart of anger. There's no gratitude because of possible anger towards God. And that's something that we usually see when there's a lot of suffering and a lot of different things going on in our lives that we just don't understand. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit, about how that's easy to do. And I was looking at some of these leading researchers and stuff, and they were talking about thankfulness, an attitude of thankfulness, and how that affects the body. And they did several studies at Harvard and showed that people that were more thankful in their lives and more positive in their lives actually were healthier, happier, and just had a better spirit about them than the people that they had grumbled. They wrote notes about everything that went wrong in their day, and they focused on those things. And so they just had a different attitude. And I ran across a quote from a lady. Her name is Melody Beatty. She says, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life," which I would argue that God unlocks the fullness of life, but I know what she's saying. "It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast and a house into a home and a stranger into a friend." And I was reading this and I was thinking about how that whole thing of it turns denial into acceptance. When we are grateful for the things that we do have, we show that graciousness to God, and we give him honor and glory for that, and he turns our denial into acceptance. And we see this also in Luke 17, chapter 11. Jesus is teaching, and he had these 10 leopards come to him. And he said, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorified God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give God glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." So in that day, if you were leprous, you had to, if you were ever healed, you had to show yourself to the priest, because if you had this disease, you actually were cast out, and you couldn't be around anybody that wasn't affected by it. So in that day, when somebody was healed, they actually had to go to a priest, and the priest had to confirm that they were okay. And so as soon as Jesus heals them, 9 of them just take off and they go about their business. There was one man, he's a Samaritan man, as Jesus says, and he came back and fell at his feet and thanked God for that blessing of healing. And the interesting thing is he says, "Stand up and go, your faith has made you well." Well, it's interesting that he says that to him, because his faith was already, or he was already cleansed and made well. But I think Jesus is actually talking about his spirit. His spirit is now, he has an attitude of graciousness and gratitude, if I said that right, sorry. So our thankfulness must include rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks in our blessings. And we just spent Thursday eating a lot of food, I'm sure. And I'm sure we've given thanks. We gave thanks for the meal that was provided for us. We gave thanks to the house that we were having our meal in. And that's what God requires of us 364 other days of the year. And I'm reminded this time of year that we also tend to, like I said earlier, we focus so much on graciousness once, or thankfulness once the month of November hits. And we tend to forget the rest of the year that God gives us everything. And so I'm going to show you a few pictures of some of my experiences in Myanmar. And so this is a house. It's kind of a makeshift house. They find whatever they can. The walls are actually rice bags. So we have a lot to be thankful for in America. A lot of us have really nice houses. The next one is actually a bamboo hut. This is what you see most of the time when you're driving through Myanmar, and it's a bamboo floor. The next one is the kitchen. And this is actually a kitchen at Love Children Home. We have about 250 kids at this orphanage. And that's where they cook their meals. And then the next one, that's the bed. And that's actually one of our orphans as well. Their bed is just plywood. They don't actually have a mattress. But as you can see, and I'm sure he's smiling for that picture, but that's the attitude that they have most of the time that they're there, is that they have this real excited, just very grateful attitude. And the next one is their food. We have food. We have an abundance of food in America. And they eat, most of the time, they eat rice, and they get protein two days a week, which usually consists of a whole chicken, and they use every bit of the chicken. So the next one is their bathroom. This is where they take a bath. Most of us have running water. We have showers. We have the ability to actually rest when we take a bath. That's water is ice cold and filthy. And then the last one here is most of us are thankful to have a job. And I'm thankful that I don't have that job because these women actually will carry the bricks on their head like that, and some of them will walk for miles to do their job, and they load up these trucks. And I don't show you that just to say, oh, you should feel bad for the things that you do have. I show you that just to kind of open up your mind to the things that God has blessed us with here. Because it wasn't until I actually went over on the other side of the world to realize that we didn't have to have stuff to feel thankful. We didn't have to have things to feel thankful. We get off the bus and we're greeted by 500-600 kids, and they're just happy as can be with the dirt, playing in the dirt and playing with rocks and whatever else they could find. And it taught me a lot about the fact that we have to rejoice. We have to pray and give thanks in the time of blessing. And in that time of blessing is the time that we typically don't rejoice and pray because things are good. We don't pray because, oh, everything's good right now. The time that we actually come to pray is when we experience hardship. And the next point I'm going to make is that we rejoice, we pray, and give thanks in our hardships as well. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about myself and my wife. A few years into marriage, we actually were trying to start our family, and we're not able to have biological children. And so we did some fertility treatments, and they didn't actually work or anything like that. So there was this time of trying to figure out, okay, how do we rejoice? And we knew how to pray because we were praying that God would provide a baby. And then giving thanks in the hardship wasn't something that was very easy to do. Because when we are faced with those hardships, how can we give thanks when we don't get what we want? But that's the problem. We think that it's something that we need. So after a couple of years of struggling with that, Shelly and I were very blessed to have, it was our youth pastor growing up, we turned into really good friends with. They had actually gone through the exact same thing when we were in high school. So we were able to walk alongside of them. And they walked by us through ours too. And it showed, now that I look back, I can see God's hand traced through that. Because God provided not only a child for Shelly and I a few years later through adoption, but he provided a support system before we even knew that we were going to deal with it. He provided the strength to get through those things. When we're sitting here and we're thinking about, God, why aren't you doing this? But now that I sit back and I think about it, I can rejoice. Some days are harder than others with an active five-year-old, but I can rejoice. And God bless that, you know. And that whole idea of praying in our hardships, that's the easy thing to do, because the first time when something happens, that's what we typically go for, is that we pray. And like I said, I can give thanks to God knowing that what we went through strengthened us, and we've been able to actually help a good friend of ours who they ended up going through the adoption process after several miscarriages, 7 or 8, I think. And they're able to now enjoy the blessing and pass that on through helping others that are dealing with that. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus was basically saying that just because you're a believer now, that doesn't mean that things are going to be good. He said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." And I was kind of going through some of these verses in the whole idea of perseverance and hardship. And this verse is something that really helps to know that Jesus even said that it wasn't going to be easy. In Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we will exalt in hope the glory of God. And not only this, but also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So we see that our troubles that we have they're not for nothing. He says that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope, and hope does not disappoint. You may be going through some hard times right now, and you know you may not be able to see the end. But just know that there's reasons that you go through certain things that God allows us to process. But sometimes we just have to get to that point where we can see the blessing in that. Because during this situation that Shelley and I were dealing with, I know for her it was very painful as a wife, as wanting to be a mother. You kind of want to go through that process. You grow up. You know you're going to get married. You're going to find a job. You're going to have kids. But nobody talks about you're going to grow up and have infertility issues and try to figure out life from that perspective. And it's something that God has helped me with the character part, because I know that gift comes from God. Not from anything that I did, not anything that anybody else did. God ordained a lady who was willing to give her baby up. And we've had a great relationship with her since, and even after the adoption. And I think James actually even talks about it as well. James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Endurance have its perfect result. And that's an interesting thing because, you know, you're talking about trials. And granted, in the book of James, he was talking about persecution because James wrote this letter in the time that the 12 tribes were dispersed. And he was trying to encourage them, but I think we could use that as our way of saying, okay, we're going to produce, or we're going to have things that happen to us. We're going to have trials. We're going to face hard times. But that testing of your faith produces endurance. And in Philippians chapter 4:4-7, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And just looking through that, I don't think I could ever have gone through the things that we went through without that peace that passes understanding. You know, it was interesting. Jason and I had the opportunity to go to Castle a few weeks ago and counsel with some kids. And for me, being new into this pastoral stuff was a very interesting thing to try to counsel somebody in this difficult time. But what was very clear to me was that Sophie and her father made a huge impact in this community. And Sophie made a huge impact on her peers. Because most of the kids that came down, some of them didn't even know Sophie. Some of them were very good friends with Sophie. But they had, while they were trying to figure out that pain and that suffering of losing a friend, there was also a peace because they knew where she was. They knew that she was in heaven singing and rejoicing like she did when she was here on earth. And that was very comforting to me to see young people to be able to go and see something so terrible, but view it with a little bit of peace because they know where her hope rose, or her hope was. And later on in Philippians in chapter 4, Paul is writing, and this is probably, in verse 13 is actually one of the most taken out of context verses, but I'll read the rest of it real quick. It says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction." I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that doesn't mean shooting three-pointers, because I think that a lot of people take that out of context. But Paul's sitting in prison, and he's writing this letter to the Church of Philippians, and he's saying that I've gone from nothing. I've been hungry. But he's talking about being content in all circumstances, in everything, in need, in abundance. And I think that it's very easy, like I said, for us to, in our times of blessing, to forget to give thanks to God. And when we endure those hardships, we also have to rejoice, pray, and give thanks in God's promises. Over the last few months, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And you're probably maybe getting tired of hearing about it, but Jesus was very prominent in speaking about the kingdom of God. And in Isaiah 65, and you've heard this before, there's joy. And this is he's talking about the new Jerusalem when Jesus comes back. There's joy. There's absence of weeping and crying. There's no infant mortality. People live out their full lives. People will build houses and live in them. People will sow and reap. There's going to be fulfilling work. There's a confidence that their children will face a better life. People will experience the blessing of God, and people will have intergenerational family support, and there will be rapid answer to prayer, and there will be an absence of violence. We have those promises that in this world, there's going to be trouble, But through Christ and what he did on the cross, he's overcome it. So if we can go through our life and thank God and pray continually and give thanks in every circumstance, whether it's blessing, whether it's hardship, we have God's promise. And not just this time of year when we talk about turkey and Christmas gifts. I saw a meme the other day that said something about directly one day after people give thanks, they're out trampling each other for Christmas gifts. And the sad part is that's true. I hope nobody in here did that, tackling for the latest and greatest toy or whatever. But I think that that's the crazy thing is like we can sit down and we can give thanks to God in one day, and then the next day we turn into ravaged consumers. It blows my mind. But we do have those promises in God. And I think having those promises in God will allow us to rejoice always. It'll allow us to pray continually and give thanks in every circumstance. I don't know what you may be going through in your life right now, but I pray that you could stand in God's promises and see his hope that he has. Because it's something that is greater than anything we can ever understand. And if you're dealing with something right now, I just want you to feel free to come see myself, some of our elders as well. I know this season can be tough for some people. And I think that having that prayer cover you is a good thing. So I just want to give you that opportunity. If you guys want a prayer or something, just let us know. Write it on your bulletin and give it to somebody. I know in our connection cards, there's a place for prayer requests. And we see those and we pray for those. And we just want to lift you up in this time. But we also want to celebrate with you, and that's why we have a thing on there for praises as well. Share what God's doing in your life. Because when we can share that God's done bigger things than we can ask for or imagine, then others will see that hope as well. God, just thank you for today. I thank you for the reminder of your blessings. God, I thank you for our families. I thank you for just being able to have the time to spend with family. God, I just pray that we wouldn't take for granted anything that you've given us. God, that we can look at every single perfect thing that we have, that we can wake up when our alarm clock goes off, that we can cook sunny side up eggs. God, that we can just get in our car and drive and not take those simple things for granted, God, but also those things that you give us that are overwhelming, that we know that are from you. God, I just pray that you would just allow us to return that thanks to you, God. God, we won't ever understand some of the things that we go through, but God, I can trace back and see your hand in several situations. God, and I just pray that you would allow others to see that as well. We just thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.